Good morning, Your Honors. This is an appeal from BIA, Board of Immigration Appeals, where the Board of Immigration Appeals said there wasn't any new evidence and we shouldn't really consider this. But we did find the judge wrong on some very basic issues, and we're not going to look into that any further. I think they should have looked into it a lot further and analyzed it a lot differently, because there were a lot more inconsistencies in the immigration judge's handling of the case. This is both a religious and a political situation where Hindus and Muslims were fighting. In India, this is a current conflict as well, that where the Hindus were demonstrating against the Muslim mosques, trying to replace some of them with a Hindu temple. And we have a situation where they used a not too intelligent minor to go to their demonstrations and to put pressure on both the religious aspects of the Muslims being there and in their own government, in the Hindu government, to put into effect laws that would perhaps require the Muslims to take their mosques off of what the Hindus considered holy places. And they use this gentleman, Mr. Chirag Patel, for their purposes.
Well, what's the evidence, though, that he would be persecuted for any religious or political reason if he returned?
He was besieged by the Hindus by a political party called a political group called the Shiv Sena, and they were the ones who were putting all the pressure on him. It wasn't the local Hindu people.
They may have put pressure on him, but where's the persecution?
Well, the pressure was more than just, why don't you do what we asked? They said after the whole thing erupted and there were killings and the riots that occurred, that if you're a good Hindu, you're not going to testify against anybody in our party. This would hurt the party, and this would be a disgrace to the religion. So it had both political and religious aspects to it. And they said, and if you do this, we will kill you. And they threatened him. They came after him, forced him to move. After he moved, they came back a number of times in volume, 15 to 20 people coming by in trucks to find out where he was, to tell his parents to bring him back. This was in page 15 of the transcripts, 36 of the transcripts. And this put the poor boy in a dilemma, and he was a peaceful person, he said. He wasn't in this to promote violence. He had gone to a couple of other rallies, and there was no violence, and they kept pushing him to go, and they gave him one of these religious symbols, a three-pronged metal item that was held to show that they were a Hindu and that there was solidarity. And this represented the symbol that their Lord Shiva had in the temple. Now, unfortunately, there were two sizes of these. A smaller one, which Mr. Chirag Kumar had, and there were some larger ones. And some of the demonstrators, or perhaps people from the political party, had larger ones, and they used the larger one to kill the Muslim that Mr. Chirag Kumar Patel observed being attacked. And the judge incorrectly indicated that they all had large ones and that he was part of this, and therefore he was persecuting the Muslims and he shouldn't get voluntary departure, which is on its face inaccurate and should be reversed. The judge said he stabbed a Muslim, but there's no testimony by the boy or anybody that he stabbed the Muslim. He observed it, and in fact, once he saw how serious it was, he and his, some people with him started shouting at the Hindus to stop this terrible thing because this was not in normal Hindu practices.
Mr. Sanders, you're talking about the merits of the BIA decision and the IJ's decision, but aren't we limited to consideration of your motion to reopen? Isn't that all that's on appeal here?
Yes, Your Honor, but the motion to reopen opened up the facts and said the judge mischaracterized the action of Mr. Chirag Kumar Patel, and they said that in page 4 that he, you know, he was not a, the judge's opinion said he was a member of the Shiv Visa, I mean the Shiv Sena, when in fact he was not. He said on page 47 of the transcript that he had not joined this political group, but was under a lot of pressure from him. So when the BIA opened up this fact situation that showed that the judge was handling the case improperly, they should have gone further in response to our motion and reversed it and remanded it for the judge to rehear or to give a decision on their own. This was a young boy who had trouble passing three grades. He had to take it over three times. He was in a small town far out where they didn't even have a police protection. One of the things that he said is that he was afraid to even consider asking protection from the police because there were no policemen in his town to protect him. And he had a number of threats that came about, and the judge incorrectly characterized some of these, that he was violent and he did these things. But it was his fear in his limited experience and education that kept him from coming to the court and ask for some sort of help with his asylum. He was here, he worked, he didn't understand, he didn't speak, he wasn't educated, and these show that there was probably a mental qualification that he would be eligible for to, if nothing else, be given voluntary departure.
Well, the issue here is going to be whether we have appellate jurisdiction of the case, I believe, and what's your position on that?
As I stated, the BIA, once they started going into the facts and found something wrong, and
well, you're just saying that
incorrectly,
we should disregard our own precedents, I think.
Well,
but the Supreme Court has now granted cert in Tucana, which was the leading precedent here, and that's the situation that we have immediately. So in light of that, what do you think we ought to do?
I think the BIA decision should be reversed and jurisdiction should be granted.
I'm talking about our jurisdiction. How can we look at that?
I think the court can find that there were questions of law that were overlooked by the BIA, and that gives you a jurisdiction to go in, and therefore it was not really discretionary. It was a mistake. Thank
questions
you.
Of law. Is you're going to stand on that ground.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you. And for the Attorney General, I apologize. You're going to have to help me with the pronunciation of your name. I would try it, but I'd probably embarrass both of us.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Ali Manucheri. On behalf of the respondent, United States Attorney General Eric H. Holder, Jr. The procedural history of this case will reveal that Mr. Patel, through counsel, had ample opportunity to present the claims asserted in his asylum application in front of an immigration judge and before the Board of Immigration Appeals.
Mr. Manicheri, could you keep your voice up, please?
Of course. I apologize. As an initial matter, notwithstanding the Supreme Court's grant of certiorari to review this court's holding in Kukana versus Holder, this court has held in Kukana and its protege that it lacks.
You don't support Kukana either, do you?
Excuse me, Your Honor?
I say you, the government, don't support Kukana. You think that's wrong.
Our position in this circuit, Your Honor, is to uphold the holding in Kukana.
Well, now,
Kukana.
What's your general position on the matter? Talk about this circuit. You have tactical problems here. I understand that. But what's your basic? What are you going to argue? What's the Solicitor General going to argue in the Supreme Court when this case goes up on cert?
I do not have any information at this time.
They haven't time. Told you that.
They have not, correct, Your Honor. They have not. But in any case.
Well, the odds are that he's going to, I assume he's going to oppose Kukana, but that's just based on what's been said here before as to what the government position is.
Well,
I'm trying to figure, as a practical matter, should we hold this case in abeyance until the Supreme Court decides what it's going to do about Kukana, or should we proceed based on our own precedent? That's the practical problem, I think.
Well, holding this case in abeyance at this time is not necessary, and I'm going to get to that, Your Honor, in my presentation.
Give us a reason for that, because I'd like to know what it is.
Well, all I can say is that we have to await and see what the Supreme Court decides.
Well, the first thing you got to decide is whether or not you're going to vacate Kukana, which may happen.
They have not at this time vacated Kukana,
right.
Correct. And Kukana and its progeny cases remain the circuit law in this case, and such holdings hold that the court lacks jurisdiction over the discretionary denials of the board, including the board's application of legal standards to facts when denying a motion to reopen or reconsider. Here, like in Kukana, Mr. Patel is seeking review of the board's discretionary denial of his motion. Specifically, Mr. Patel is challenging the board's discretionary denial that he filed his motion untimely when treated as a motion to reconsider. However, whether a motion has been timely filed is an unreviewable decision that lies outside of this court's jurisdiction.
I'd like to get a little practical about the situation. You're making this argument here, and the Solicitor General presumably is going to make a different argument to the Supreme Court of the United States about this. And you're telling us, well, we shouldn't hold it in abeyance until they act. Now, tell me what's a good practical reason why we shouldn't.
The reason why we can move forward on this case despite the grant of certiorari in the Supreme Court is because even if this court does consider that it has jurisdiction over the instant petition for review, the Board of Immigration Appeals did not abuse its discretion when it denied Mr. Patel's motion to reopen, because the evidence of the board's disagreement with the immigration judge over the persecutor bar issue was not new and material evidence, nor was the motion accompanied by affidavits or other evidentiary documents that would justify reopening of his removal proceedings.
You're saying he loses on the merits, then?
Exactly.
Well,
correct.
And, of course, we don't get to the merits if we don't have jurisdiction, and so there were running around a circle here.
Correct, Your Honor. The first layer is jurisdiction and relying on Kukana and the series of cases that followed Kukana, there is no jurisdiction over this instant petition for review. Further, I would like to add that the court clearly lacks jurisdiction over Mr. Patel's challenges to the immigration judge's denial of his underlying asylum application, including the decision to pre-termit that application as untimely filed, and the board's dismissal of that appeal because Mr. Patel did not file a petition for review from the board's final order of removal issued on January 28, 2008. So, dealing with jurisdiction, clearly this court does not have jurisdiction to hear the instant petition for review. The board did not abuse its discretion when it denied Mr. Patel's motion to reopen. Because the offered evidence was not material, it did not establish that he will likely succeed on the merits of his underlying claim. Specifically, the board's prior decision found that Mr. Patel filed an untimely asylum application. He failed to demonstrate that it is more likely than not that he will be persecuted for being a witness to a murder of a Muslim man that during a 1992 political rally in India, nor did he prove that he was tortured by Indian officials after he cooperated with them in their investigation of the murdered rally victim. The evidence Mr. Patel offered that he did not engage in the persecution of Muslims in India in no way challenged the board's dispositive findings. Accordingly, the mere fact that Mr. Patel was not a persecutor was insufficient to show a likelihood of success on the merits. Hence, it was not an abuse of discretion by the board to find that the evidence Mr. Patel offered was not material and therefore unable to warrant reopening of his removal proceedings. For these reasons, the petition for review is not proper before this court. If there are no further questions, the government respectfully rests. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Mr. Manager.
Of course, we won't know whether it's proper until the Supreme Court decision is made.
We have to wait and see. Thank you.
All right, and how much time left? 1 minute, Mr. Sanders.
It's a tough decision. There's many issues that are muddy, but the jurisdiction can be sustained on the basis that the underlying decision by the immigration judge was just so mixed and so against the facts and the law that it should clearly be set aside on other than jurisdictional basis. And that, regardless of what happens in Kukana, the court should take it on its own and reverse and send back for a better holding. All of the facts support that there is a basis for winning if viewed properly or allowed to be elaborated in a more balanced fashion rather than the what I could call slight bias on the part of the judge. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And we'll take this case under advisement.